Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Good morning and welcome to A Heart for Worship on Soul Sister Sunday. This is your host, Becky Phillips, and I just want to thank you all for tuning in for another week of worship and praise before we step into church reboot at 8 o'clock. So I just want to say thank you to our sponsors, Rebecca Lawler Limited, V&B Builders and Remodelers, Spa Gems, Naturopathic Center for Wellness. We thank you so much for all that you do for our show and continuing your support so that we can reach those that are with us week after week and those that will be joining us in the future. We just thank you for all that you do. And I would just, at this point, just want to just start us out in prayer. Father, we just come to you this morning. We just ask that you give us a fresh anointing, a fresh touch of you and your Holy Spirit, Lord, and that he would just come and indwell in us and live inside of us, Lord, and just fill us up, because so many times we just get weighted down with the the things and the cares of this world, and we just get consumed, and we forget to just pause and remember that you're with us, and you never leave us or forsake us. So just thank you for that. I just ask for a good show today, Father, a good time for the listeners, that they would really just let the music penetrate their hearts, and that you would just penetrate their hearts with your love and your words, and that I would remove myself from everything, and that your words would come forth, and it would be whatever it is that they need to hear right where they're at. We thank you for that and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I hope everybody had a really good week. I know that as I was going through my week, it was a tough week for me. I was dealing with some very big stressors in my life. So, it's funny that happened to be the case, because as I'm listening to Shackles this morning on the beginning of the song, that song just really hit me. You know, I hear it week after week after week, and sometimes you just kind of take for granted the words, and it just kind of hit me in the gut as I'm listening to it. Huh, you know, God said he took the shackles off our feet so we can dance, and that's what it says in the song. And she sings about how, you know, we put, you know, the cares of this world and everything that's going on just sometimes get too heavy, and we can't lift the load, and we just need God to take it for us. And he says in his word that to lay down your burdens at his feet, that and to pick up his yoke, because his yoke is light. And I'm going to just receive that today, and I hope that you folks that are listening do too, because we can just so easily, and I know I am just the master of it, and I don't want to be anymore. And that's that
44.
That we
first.
Can
19, John 19.
We can learn that, we can just easily put that yoke back on and take all the weight of the world and
the song for the first
keep walking in that instead of just laying it down at God's feet and leaving it for him and letting him just fill us and let us have peace. So I really as we go through the day and go through the week, we listen to the words of the song and just let God fill us, and we learn to have a way to increase our faith, because it says in Mark 6, verse 5, Jesus was talking about how he went to his own hometown, and that all he could do
every day,
he could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. So even with the lack of faith, Jesus was laying hands on people and healing them and freeing them of their sicknesses. But how much more could he do if we didn't lack faith and if we increased our faith? So I just really encourage all of you to increase your faith today. And just really ask God to reveal himself to you and just enjoy the music. So the first song that's coming up, we have three of them. So enjoy them, and I will talk to you after the show.
Wow.
forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned, and I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted.
Iterate that we all have moments of lacking faith, and that we get caught up in the shackles of life, and we are so quick to put those back on rather than staying free of them, because you know what, we think we look good in those shackles, we think we look good in those chains, and they're comfortable. They may be heavy and they may wear us down, but boy, they're comfortable. And we have to remember that Jesus came to set us free of all those things, and that he's adorning us with his jewels and his robes of all that he has for us, and that his yoke is light, and he wants us to pick that up instead of picking up those stinking old shackles. So I really encourage you today, because boy, I tell you, I know if any of you had weeks like I did, you can really get weighted down. And I really encourage that if you have folks that call you and say, you know what, I just feel like I'm led to pray with you, meet up with them and bless them by letting them pray for you. Because, you know, I had a friend do that for me this weekend, and what a difference that made. You know, we get so in tune to praying and our own relationships with Christ that we forget that we are to build each other up, and iron sharpens iron. And sometimes when you allow somebody else to lay hands on you and pray and be Jesus in the midst of whatever storm you're in, it's an amazing thing what miracles can come forth, and even the little things that you aren't aware of. So I really would just encourage you to allow yourself that, allow that blessing to come, and let someone else just step in and intercede for you, because it's really awesome. So we hope that you enjoyed the music. We hope that you are encouraged and that you're able to listen in the archives. Our show is growing, and we're so excited about that, and things will be changing, and we have new shows coming down the pipeline. Church Reboot is up next, and we just encourage you to stay on and listen to the humanity of Christ and what Church Reboot is bringing. Maria has a good show planned for us, and Magdalena always is great with her praying and reading of the Word, and just be encouraged. Find us on Facebook, find us, like our page, and be a fan, and spread the word about our little Bible study that we do here on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't have a Blog Talk Radio account, you can log on to blogtalkradio.com and sign up for a free one, and then you're able to chat with us and call in and just partake with us. So be encouraged. We lift you up in prayer this week, and we just encourage you, and we'll talk to you next week on the show. God bless.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hey, sheeple. This is Jimmy James, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Sunday. Our host, Maria Magdalena, redefined what fellowship is in 2012. So, if you've been hanging out in those dens of iniquity, Jesus is in the house, waiting to reboot your definition of church and uplift your spirit on Soul Sister Sunday.
Welcome to Soul Sister Sunday, and this is Maria DiGiovanni and Magdalena Gomez, and our special guest is usually here, but she is traveling the world, and we just want to send a special prayer out to Rebecca Lawler, who is out with her daughter Claire, and they are visiting Europe for the first time. But we do have another guest host with us, and I just want to make sure he is on. Mr. Dean Milo, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you can make it with us. And Becky, we just want to send you a thank you so much. Your show is amazing. And I do want to apologize. I'm new at producing and hosting at the same time another show. And I thought I had everything cool, but I guess I didn't. So we're learning. So I just want to send a special apology for that. technical difficulty this morning, but we did do, Becky, I just want to say you did a great job, as always. And I just want to say a special hello to the people in our chat room. If you are a guest, you can log off and log back on and sign up for a free Blog Talk account, and you can chat with those in the chat room if you would like to. But this morning, we're going to start off in prayer. Magdalena, how are you first?
Oh, I'm feeling wonderful. I definitely feel guided by the light and his presence. And it's been such a beautiful, peaceful morning. So there's just a lot of gratitude. So definitely we want to start off our day in prayer and full of gratitude. Dear Father God, thank you so much for the peace that you give us, Father, because of your Son, Jesus, and really because of your amazing, abundant love and how you protect us with your angels, and really how amazing it is to be covered by your wings, Father. And so we lift up to you in prayer for those who are ill, Father, for those who have infirmities, Father, because you came to take on our iniquities and our infirmities. And I pray for those who are in some kind of a physical pain or who have been diagnosed with a disease or any kind of illness, Father God, that you protect them as they're bodies are trying to fight the good fight, Father, both physically and spiritually, Father. So we want to lift up a prayer for Susan Milano, Murphy Milano, Father. We want to pray for Maria's father, Steve Marlowe, Father, that he may continue to be the happy elk that we know him as, Father, that he may continue to give lessons to those who want to learn golfing, Father. We want to pray for our sister Maria because she has a lot of pain, Father God, that every day that you can just take away some of that pain, God. I want to pray for my little mama, Father, that although her heart is broken, that she may have her hope and peace in you, God. And we want to pray for Auntie Helen, Father, that you are with her and that she may know that although we are far, that we are praying for her, Father, because it is family, you know, that keeps us united, God. And you give us so many reasons to pray, God. And we really lift up our hands to you and to your angels and to your Son, God, that you may bring some relief to those who are hurting, God. And we really need to pray for our enemies, God, because they are hurting too. And although they choose or want to oppress us, God, that we pray that you may bless them, God, that they may understand your will and that there is a purpose in all of this, God. And we pray for those who are suffering, God. And we want to thank you so much for our brother in outer space, Joe Acaba, Father. Please be with him and his crew, that they know that they are in prayer, God, that you surround them with your angels up in space, God, that they are around them, God. And we thank you so much, Father, for all the blessings, for all our sponsors, for all those who believe in this mission, Father, for those who support Soul Sister Radio on Soul Sister Sunday, God. Thank you so much for our sponsors, especially our lovely Rebecca Lawler, Father. Please be with her and her daughter as they are traveling the world, Father, and I know that they are touching many lives just with their spirit there, Father. We want to thank you so much for our brother, Robert Brown, Father, B&B Builders, God. Thank you so much. He is the Noah in our lives, the Builder, God, and may you bless him with so much, Father, abundantly for his generous heart, for his hardworking ethics, God. We are truly, truly blessed. Thank you so much for Spa Gems, Father. May you bless that endeavor. Thank you so much for Dr. Stan and Naturopathic Healing, Father. That only goodness may come out of that, God, and you reveal your true glory, God. We want to thank Balboa Island Jewelers for placing a home for Rebecca Lawler's heart. Father, may you bring blessings there because it is truly through these arms that you are blessing, God. And we want to pray for our family in Crete, Father. May you bring blessings to them, to Miss Mary, and for our new partnership with Mata, Father. that truly it is to your glory, God. And we want to pray and thank God also for Dama Tequila for being one of our sponsors and for all our guardians who really just want to see us flourish, Father, because it is about spreading your word. And we thank you so much. In your precious Son's name we pray. Amen.
Okay. I swear you are just the most amazing prayer warrior, and I am blessed every Sunday that we get to hear Magdalena pray. Dean, you know what I'm talking about because she just has a special way of praying, and it's amazing. So thank you so much. I want to recap last week, Dean, because you were on the show and we talked about Noah's Ark, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So I want you to share with the audience what you found in the news this week, because it was pretty amazing that here we are, we're talking about it. Again, Magdalena was reading scripture about the conversation we were going to have last week while you were sharing with me exactly what God was giving Magdalena, and you two hadn't even talked about it. And it was definitely the story of Noah. And then you go and you research and you find this article. So will you share with the audience what you found in the news that happened this week?
Sure. On Thursday, a AP report, international report, a Dutch millionaire had a dream, I think around about 10 years ago, and God came to him in his dream and told him to build an ark. And this gentleman in Holland, he went ahead and built an ark to scale. It took him 10 years or something like that, and he actually built a faithful recreation of Noah's Ark, and he actually went ahead and put life-size animals in it, and is just opened as a tourist attraction in a city right there in Holland somewhere. I don't know exactly what city. But I just find it amazing that after everything we talked about, you know, lo and behold, if you go on to the internet right now, you'll see this most amazing boat that this gentleman created just by, his faith in the Lord. The Lord told him what to do, and just like Noah, he did it in spite of everybody telling him that he was crazy. And he took it to fruition, and he opened it, and it's now a tourist attraction. I can't wait to go.
I can't wait to go either. And it kind of brings us right into today's topic, which is the humanity of the Christ. And the reason I bring it up right at this point is because what you were saying, this man had a dream, just like Noah had a dream, and just like a lot of prophetic people in the Bible have a dream. And so when we were talking about the topic this week on the humanity of Christ, or the Christ, Jesus, and really taking away who he was as the Son of God, and just talk about him being a man, you told us to go to Isaiah 53. And that is a prophetic dream, so to speak, for those baby Christians out there or people who are listening that don't really understand what a prophetic thought or a prophetic word is. It's almost like a dream when God wants to give you some information. And so this week we're really going to focus on who this man was. And again, why I want to reiterate real quick, first of all, why this man's even important. And I brought this up on a show before, and it was, let me ask you the question, Dean, what year is it?
Could you repeat that question?
Yeah, what year is it?
It's 2012.
Very good. 2012 from what?
From 2000.
Okay, listen. So, it's the year 2012, and every country on this planet, when you write a check, okay, write a check, what the money changers. The year on that check is 2012. 2012 after the death of Christ. There's BC and AD, correct?
Yes.
So whether you're Christian, whether you're Jewish, whether you're Chinese, whether you're any religion on any country, you have your Greekanese, okay? You have to write 2012, and what is it? 2012 years after this person's death. So whether you believe he was the man or the son of God or not, you have to stop. No matter if you're in Chinese New Year or Persian New Year, you have to stop and say, who was this man? Who was this normal man that the entire world rests time on? There's before his birth and then after he dies. So who was this normal man, this human man that came to earth just like all of us through the birth of a mother, okay? And we're going to start and we're going to see what the prophetic word says or the dream, just like Noah's dream. And how important are they? They've been talking about it way back in biblical times, and now this man creates it now. So I want Magdalena to read Isaiah 53.
Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. As sheep before his shears is silent, he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in him, in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand after the suffering of his soul.
It's a pretty powerful scripture. Dean, would you like to say anything about this particular scripture before I go?
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
First, that scripture right there is just an absolute cataclysmic foretelling of what's going to happen. And I particularly like the part that in the beginning where God tells us, basically, he gives us an idea, a artist's rendition of what Jesus looked like. And just the fact that Jesus was just like the normal person. There was nothing about Jesus that was attractive. There was nothing about Jesus that would make us look at him. That scripture makes me think that God's plan is amazing. Because right when you think that God would send this beautiful creature that we would look at him, he's making it very clear that he didn't do that. And I find that scripture also just emotional. As you continue to read on, you'll discover that God actually enjoyed hurting and inflicting pain and punishment on his own son. It is quite it's quite powerful.
Right. The first song, it was interesting how this song came up, because I really wanted to bring it to just the humanity of it. And what do you have to do when you just want to look at this person as just the man that he is? And the one thing that you have to do is you have to get him out of a box, meaning you have to lose the religion part of it. So the first song that we're going to play today, I want you just to kind of sit back and listen to it. And again, I bring up his name as Joe just simply because of the book God on a Harley. I make sure that I introduce that book to everybody that comes into the ministry that we have here and the for-profit organizations that we have. It's a secular little book called God on a Harley, and it really just introduces him to you with no religion. He just shows up with long hair on the back of a bike. And so I want you guys just to sit back and listen to Losing My Religion and know that today's conversation is just truly about the man.
Thank you.
it's really interesting to hear that song and listen to it as if Joe is singing it to you, as if Jesus Christ is singing it to you. Because what, Dean, now that you've heard it that way, your thoughts on the song now?
Well, you got a dream in there, you know. I think Michael Stipe, you know, gets it right, talking about dreams, listening. It's about listening to the dreams too, you know.
Exactly. One of the things I wanted to talk about today was the emotions of Christ. I thought I heard you laughing, it says in this song. One of the things that we couldn't find in the Bible was if Jesus ever laughed. Magdalena has a hand up.
Yes. And Luke 9:21, we see that he is full of joy. So when you're full of joy, I mean, it's you know, your presence speaks for yourself. There's something about you is like, woo, you know, when you're joyful, you just can't help but to shine. And it also reminds me of a song from REM, Happy Shiny People, because, you know, when you have the light, you shine, and when you shine, you radiate, and you radiate God's joy. And for Jesus to be joyful is pretty amazing. And it says, at this time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was for your good pleasure. So, I mean, if in pleasure there is joy, there is happiness. So we know that at least Jesus did experience some joyfulness, and he compares that to a child. And I think of when I see little kids and they're around, like let's say they see a balloon, they're full of joy and spirit, and or they get happy feet, or, you know, it's just this joy. So to know that Jesus did experience joy is,
yippee,
you know, awesome.
Dean, what other things humanly did Christ experience? And it shows and proves in the Bible that he so was human.
Well, we do know that he cried, which is a deep emotion, you know, and it's an emotion that men don't often. That men don't often do in public, and we do know that he did cry. The story.
When was that?
The story is he's with his disciples, and one of his best friends has passed away unexpectedly, and the sisters of his best friends are frantic looking for Christ, looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And they send messengers out to find him, to tell Christ, to tell Jesus. I'm going to call him Jesus this week because we're doing the humanity of Christ and we're doing the human aspect. So we're going to keep it to his first name. And the word went out, Mary and Martha, the sisters of his good friend Lazarus, sent word out to Jesus, find him, our brother's dead. And when Jesus finally arrives to the village of Lazarus, he weeps, and it's rare, and it's moving, you know, because it's not all, like the old saying says, you know, it's never easy to see a grown man cry.
The scripture, Magdalena, I want you to read is John 11:28-44.
Yes. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said. He is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, she replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, how? See how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have kept this man from dying? Jesus once more moved deeply, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the man, the dead man, by this time there is bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?
When you say this scripture, it brings me to last year. And last year I lost my dog. And it was the closest thing to me since my grandmother that I'd ever lost. And one of the things that this week is teaching me is the power behind this human man named Jesus. And I can only imagine how terrible he felt when his friend suddenly passed away, and the emotions that he wept deeply. Okay, I know that emotion of weeping deeply for something that you've lost, and so I can only imagine, because I know at that moment when my dog had died, wow, I wish I could have brought him back or brought her back. So I can imagine the power that this man, this human, because he knew the miracle that he was going to perform, but as a man, he wept deeply. And I'm blessed to know that he understands that level of pain, but also how we can take that level of pain that we've experienced as humans and turn that into some incredible power. You want to follow up?
Well, yeah, I mean, As we read, he was deeply moved because he was a man of compassion. You know, in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So his heart always did go out to those who were hurting for whatever reason, because he was a man of compassion because of his great love, and he is love and God is love.
We're going to take just a few minutes here and give us a station identification, and also to get a message from one of our sponsors. One moment, and we will be back finishing this conversation of the humanity of the Christ.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
This topic is really emotional for me, just because I walk with him every day, and it wasn't until I realized he was just a man, okay, that was sent to earth, a regular man that happened to make the right choices every single time from the minute he was born to the time that he died. He chose to let God's will overrule his own as a human. And I think that's pretty important, and thus the reason why I love that little book, God on a Harley, because he just shows up so humanly. And one of the human emotions that I want to talk about right now, Dean, is the one that you had brought up about anger And anger is a warning sign that something is wrong. But when you come from a background where I come from as far as teaching women about abuse, anger can be something that's very frightening. However, there's good anger and not so good anger. It's how we manifest that anger. But anger is healthy. It's a warning sign that something is wrong. And Dean, what was wrong when Jesus finally showed the emotion of anger? Do you remember?
Well, it's very extremely complex, and a lot of pastors sometimes get this wrong. But what you have here is a very, very simple case of being unclean in a very clean place. And Jesus comes upon the temple. The temple is sacred. The temple is like church. The temple is something that me and you would, if we had to put it in today's terms, the temple is the, we can call it, let's get out of the religious frame of mind for a moment, and we'll call it the maternity ward. You don't yell at the maternity ward. You don't bring your loud boombox at the maternity ward. You don't have conversations have business conversations at a maternity ward. So what you have here is a situation where Christ comes upon a place where it's extremely holy, extremely sacred, and more importantly, it's his own home. And he becomes angry because what the home has become is a place where people get ripped off. And that really, really struck a nerve with Jesus, the man, to the point where he actually physically got angry. He physically lashed out. He physically grabbed a weapon, started knocking things down. It's very, very powerful. It's a powerful testament that anger could happen to anybody, even God, anointed, brought to earth in all his glory, could come out and actually, physically hurt somebody. Knock down tables, break glass, break scales. Very human.
Very human. And I'm going to have Magdalena read right now. What is the scripture? John?
In John 2:12. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves. Others sitting at the tables exchanging money. So this is the creative weapon that you spoke about, Dean. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both the sheep and cattle.
Wait a minute, I want to stop there and make a point of this. He didn't just grab a whip that was there. So he was really pissed off. He had to stop and think. And what does it say?
He made a whip out of
cords. He made a whip. He made a whip, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Go ahead.
He made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. Imagine.
Yeah, wow.
You're at a market.
I would like to interject for a moment.
Yes, please do.
I want to just put everybody back to when they were a child. If you ever got spanked by a belt or a piece of leather, then
yes,
you kind of understand where Jesus is coming from as a parent. All of a sudden, your kid is looking at you, and you know he's going to get it. So what do? You grab a belt. Back in the old days, well, here's a situation where Jesus probably calmly, very meticulously, created out of cord a belt, just like a parent's. It's very un-PC now, but back in the day, at least I personally got spanked by a belt or a cord. And here's a particular situation where Christ makes a cord and starts whipping some rear end.
Well, that and turning tables, you know what I mean? I mean, that's pretty, like, that would get my attention. If I walk into a place and somebody had a whip and turn the tables, it's like, whoa, what's going on here?
And also, I wanted to also bring up a point that you brought up, Dean, is that in the King James Version, it does say that he overturns the scales. And it's interesting that you and I grew up in an environment, and you are still in an environment. And thank you so much for being one of our new four fans, Critical Weighing Systems, that you are in the weighing industry, the scale industry. So explain why scales back then in the temple or in a marketplace was important.
Well, just like today, there's no difference, Maria. If you were to go to a farmer's market, all farmer's markets and all markets throughout the world are dictated by weight. And it doesn't matter what vendor, what buyer, what seller, they all have a scale there to dictate the weight to the customer and to the buyer. So just as today, nothing changes as in yesterday. So Christ's world was dictated by scales just as today. So here Christ comes into the temple. He's angry. He's mad. And what does he do? He goes and destroys the scales. And I find that absolutely amazing, because imagine going into, let's say, the Newport Beach Farmers Market, and here you have all the vendors with their beautiful produce and their beautiful battery-operated scales, all digital, and imagine if I went in there and I went ahead and took a hammer to every scale and I destroyed the sensor in the scale and I overloaded the sensor and I caused everybody $1,000 worth of scale damage. Do you imagine how mad the vendors would be at me if I went ahead and destroyed their ability to make a profit? It's incredible.
Right. That's why it's he must have been very angry. And go ahead.
And well, this is what he says. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?"
I love the fact that we're talking about this topic, because I want to really focus on he was just a man. And I know there's some quote-unquote Christians out there that are probably, you know, their skin is crawling when I say that. But the truth is, he was just a man. And when you really stop and think about the humanity of this man, and that he was just a man that chose to do everything correctly, it's an incredible thing, which is going to bring us to the next song. And as I was choosing the songs last night, and it was one of the reasons why we had the technical difficulty, because I was sharing with Magdalena about what God had revealed to me about this next song and the power of this man, and I was sharing it with her, and for some reason it came over even when our microphone was on mute. So I know that it's a pretty powerful topic. And the next song is called "Live Like We're Dying." And this is a man that knew he was going to die, just like we all know we're going to die. It's not if, it's when, okay? But this man knew when. And it really does change your life when you stop and think about the fact that if you knew that you were going to die tomorrow, wow, couldn't you fly like an eagle if you wanted to? I mean, the power that he must have had just knowing that he was living like he was dying every single moment. And I'm sure that the power of the Holy Spirit was on a total natural high, simply because this human knew the reality of it. And I'm watching Susan Murphy Milano go through what she's going through, and she has stopped everything in the outreach industry because she is now living every day like she is dying. Life changes. The power that you have behind your passions change. And so I'm going to just bring us right into that song, unless you want to talk about a scripture first. Dean, would you like to say anything before we go into this next song?
Well, just, you know, just keep in mind that as we're talking about the humanity of Christ and the feelings of Christ and just his human nature, that that it's okay to look at him in the human element. We all get plenty of Jesus the God and Jesus the deity and Jesus the miracle worker and Jesus our Savior. We get plenty of them if we can just for one Sunday, today, focus in on the human aspect, the reality, and the God that makes Jesus one of us.
The song is Live Like You're Dying. Live like we're dying. Think about if you knew tomorrow you were going to not be here. How would you live? What human things, emotions, thoughts would you want to take with you today? So sit back and listen to Live Like We're Dying.
You said I was in my early 40s with a lot of life before me, when a moment came that stopped me on a dime. I spent most of the next days looking at the x-rays, talking about the options and talking about sweet time. I asked him when it sank in that this might really be the real end. How's it hit you when you get that kind of news? Man, what'd you do? And he said, I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full moon Blue Man shoe, and I looked deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. He said, I was finally the husband that most of the time I wasn't, and I became a friend would like to have. All of a sudden going fishing wasn't such an imposition, and I went three times that year I lost my dad. Well, I finally read the good book, and I took a good long hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. And then I went skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing, I went 2.7 seconds on a full moon Blue Man shoe, and I looked deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I've been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you would die. Like tomorrow was a gift and you got eternity to think about what you do with it. What did you do with it? What did I do with it? What would I do with it? Skydiving, I went Rocky Mountain climbing.
Live like you're dying. There's you get to a certain place where you have nothing to lose, and I love that. I know that I'm at that place. Magdalena, I want you to share some of the other human aspects of Jesus, the man that you were sharing.
Oh yeah, and before I even get to that point, I wanted to share in John 5:30, where Jesus states, "By myself, I can do nothing." So he's just right there, you know, he shares about he's human, but because of, you know, God the Father, he can do everything. But if it were just up to him, he would not have the power. Yet we also know that as an everyday, something that we face daily, day in, day out, doesn't matter what time of the day it is temptation. And Jesus, too, was faced with temptation. And, you know, he was a man of flesh and blood, so everything that we have been tempted by, he overcame. But it just goes to show that he was human in every aspect of the way, and we see that when he goes to the mountain, and it's, you know, where he's encountered with Satan himself. So in Matthew 4, we read about temptation. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. So we know that he did like to eat.
He loved to eat.
I love eating. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written," and here Satan uses scripture towards Jesus, "he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up into their hands, so they will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put your Lord God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him.
Dean, weren't you talking about something about the significance of angels last night?
Well, I would like to interject a little bit on what Magdalena just said there, because it's extremely, extremely important and a very touchy subject in the Christian world. But since we're talking about the humanity, it hits it right on the head, and that is the exact translation where you have the devil actually leading Christ. People, you know, they go crazy. They up in arms when you hear the word that Christ was led by the devil. Well, he was. It says it right there in black and white. Twice, as a matter of fact. Christ is not in a combative mood with the devil. Christ is not in a fight with the devil here. They're actually having a conversation. They're actually are, I don't want to use the word, but I'm going to. They're actually friends here on the mountain. They're actually going from place to place, kind of like friends would, as crazy as it was. If this is Jesus' arch enemy, his person that he hates the most, why would Jesus spend so much time with him, and why would Jesus want to be led by him?
Because,
it's
wait a minute.
A very,
it, Let me stop. Let me ask you. Isn't it so just like us when there's been a friend? Because if Jesus, this human, is God in flesh, then the devil is someone that he knew already, correct?
Of course.
Of course. And wasn't the devil
like...
Go ahead.
The devil and Christ already know each other. They're already good friends. That's why there is no enmity here on the mountain. Okay, there is no problems here on the mountain. They're not having a war with. They're not even having an argument, really. Technically,
yeah.
They're actually having just a conversation. So what's amazing here is it's standard in standard friendships, in standard relationships, be it a business relationship, be it a human relationship, be it a relationship with your brother, a relationship with your mother or father, or your best friend. The fact is that sometimes you guys have arguments. Sometimes you have misunderstandings. Sometimes you guys just don't see eye to eye. Here is a perfect example of Christ and the devil actually walking, talking together, meeting, led by one another, and having a disagreement. A disagreement between people that know each other. Let's take the deity out of the equation here for a moment, and let's just talk about two people on the top of a mountain, looking down at the lights of a city, and one of them's making a proposition. I could give this to you if you want. Imagine Christ actually knew that the devil had the power to give it to him. Don't you find that amazing? Christ rebukes him and says, listen, I understand the power. The power was given to you by my Father, you know, and I'm not going to be tempted. But the fact is that he was tempted. And more importantly, since we're talking about the human, temptation comes into the game. And more importantly, camaraderie and the fact that Jesus is not fighting the devil here. We've got to keep that in mind, that sometimes when the enemy is right in front of you, you can't go crazy. You have to look at him. You have to talk to him in a calm, in a sensible fashion, and most likely you'll get your job done.
It's so incredible that you're saying that, because, again, we're talking about the human side, and we may go over, and, Dean, this is the reason why we have the 30 minutes extra. So what will happen is it will go on to the archive. It will end the live, but we will go on to the archive, and that is what's really important. Real quick, I want to thank our audience who are listening live. The show will go into overtime, and you will be able to listen to it on the archive. Thank you so much to our archive listeners. I cannot believe the numbers and how much they are going up simply by the word of mouth. And Magdalena is our biggest cheerleader out there in doing this grassroots marketing for Soul Sister Radio. And so, just so you know, the show will probably go off live, but you can catch us the next part on the archives. So, because I want to continue. And we were talking, Dean, that this is so important to really stop and see him as this human. And Magdalene, did you want to say something? Because I can feel...
Well, yes. I mean, just touching on some of the other things that, you know, his humanity is...
Let me stop, Mike, because I had I forgot what I was actually going to say, but we were talking about how he was tempted, and he was tempted by somebody who used to be his friend, or someone that he had loved, somebody that he knew once, and that person made choices that clearly were different than Jesus's choices as a human, as a man. But look at the ways of the world. Look at how tempting it is to drive that Mercedes-Benz when you really don't have the money to do it. However, if you just manipulate things a little bit, you can lease it and make it all happen, even though you can't afford the garage that it goes into. It's incredible how tempting it is to live a lifestyle that you may not be living because you're suffering for the goodness of it all, but we do live in abundance. But the point of that being was that it was a friend. They hadn't seen each other in a long time. They were talking about probably the good old days. Wow, Jesus is going, I have 12 guys that are walking around and we're in sandals, and this friend of mine has the world at his feet.
And the writers, to make sure that this is very important, that the author wants to make sure that you know that Jesus is following the devil here. In this particular narrative, the devil is taking him from place to place to place. Jesus is not taking the devil from place to place to place. The devil is taking Jesus from place to place. Now, would you just follow a stranger and a stranger telling you things and giving you ideas and putting ideas into your head? Would you just follow some random stranger? No, you wouldn't. So here we are as a situation. Christ probably knew him. Yes, he did know him. He was not a stranger. And Christ took a walk, I'd call it a nice stroll in an evening stroll with a friend, an acquaintance.
Right. It's interesting to really break it down and just the human side of it. And again, how many friends have hurt you, but then come back into your life a little bit later, and we stop and go, and you really got to look at those people when they want to come back into your life. Because you could be, just like Dean said, you could be staring the enemy straight in the eye. And it's at those moments that you do have to be cool, calm, and collective. Because you do know that the power of the God that's in Jesus Christ is so in you as well. Magdalena, you wanted to share a couple other things as well.
Well, yes. I mean, he is a set of expert. Because he calls all those who are wearied and burdened, and he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul. So he describes himself as a gentle, humble person. And so that's a lovely aspect about him, is how gentle he was in spirit and comforting.
And there were other things.
And yes, and the other, you know, we touched on is basically how he suffered, and the one time that we know that, you know, he was on the cross, and, you know, when he took on all our sins, our iniquities, and we read that in Matthew 27, so let me get to that real quick. Matthew 27:45, he says, Eloi, Eloi, Yama Sabatani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? So, I mean, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, and this is the suffering that he had to,
May I say something?
Yes.
It's very ironic here, and it's just like us all. You know, when we're really in a pinch, we cry out for our parents. And this is a perfect example of a human trait, is that when Jesus is here on the cross and it's the time to die, what does he do? Just like a soldier that's about to die on the battlefield, they cry for their mother. And here he is, a human emotion comes out, and he cries for his father, and he actually believes for a second that his father has left him in the moment that he really needs him. But we both know, and we all know, that his father didn't leave him, but Christ actually thought that for a moment in typical human nature.
Right. There were a couple things that he did that was very human on the cross. And the other thing, and again, that is so true, that because that scripture that Magdalena just read always confused me on, here he's God, why would he cry out to him, why have you forsaken me, when he knew that he wasn't forsaken? So it wasn't until, you know, a light bulb hit me on top of my head, that he was human and that he was crying out. But there was something else human that he cried out for while he was on the cross, Dean. Do you remember what it was?
Sure. And that was his, the human desire for sustenance in the form of water. We don't hear, you know, in the scripture narrative, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, very rarely do you hear any of Christ's physical needs, you know, eating, drinking, thirst, having to go to the bathroom, these crazy things that we know as human. Well, here on the cross, he finally tells us, just like me and you, when we get up in the morning or we've had a big day or we've done extraneous exercises, you know, all of a sudden we're thirsty, we're parched, we need water, we need Gatorade, we need something, we need fluid to put in our body. Here on the cross, he tells us his humanity and says, I'm thirsty. I need some water. This is going to be one of my last human acts to you as my followers. I thirst. I'm like you.
The other thing that I want you to bring up too, and we were talking about it, and Lauren, my daughter, didn't really understand this, and so I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that don't understand this, and your perspective, Dean, is really interesting. As far as he refused to take the I'm going to let you say what it was, because I didn't ever think of it as being called this, but he refused it to take away his pain while he was on the cross. And this, again, is another very human thing, because right now, going through the pain that I'm going through, there's certain medical things that I won't take. I won't take aspirin. I won't take medication because I've just chosen not to do it. So I want you to share that, what he did, very human, as far as that goes on the cross.
Well, this is a particular where he actually takes the humanity away from himself, because if he was the real human, he would have took the drugs that were offered him on the cross. Because as we all are human, the first thing we do is to mask our pain, no matter what we do, either by drugs, alcohol, prescription medication, sex, whatever. Here is a chance that the human being on this cross that's about to die has a chance, is given the opportunity to take the pain away through drugs. And it's offered up to him. Imagine if you were about to die. Imagine if you were going through tremendous pain. If somebody just chopped your leg off, or something happened cataclysmic, and you were about to die, and you had the ability to take morphine, or you had the ability to deaden the pain, you'd do it. There is, a matter of fact, the chances of you doing it would be 99.9999 that you would take the pain away if you could. Here is an example that Christ actually is human, but pulls a very godlike move. And he actually denies the drugs. He denies the painkiller. So he actually takes the pain 100% in all of its torturous aspects. He takes it and refuses the pain-relieving drug that's offered to him. Unlike water, which he takes because he thirsts for it, he doesn't thirst for drugs. Amazing.
It's interesting because he was birthing a new generation. Again, there's BC and there's AD. And it's funny that you bring up this whole topic again the way that you do, because women, often when they're in childbirth or getting ready to think about having a baby, they have those options of being able to get an epidural and totally just blanking out all the pain immediately and they never even feel a labor pain. Or you have those that choose not to do it that way and do it the natural way. And it's amazing the perspective that you get because, and I'm sure that just like a mother getting ready to give birth, I'm sure that that is something that Christ was thinking and going through. And again, when you're in labor, one of the things that you have to do is get out of your head and just rest into your heart. And I know that I know that I know that while he was up on the cross, the only way that he could get through the pain, and I know that a lot of people that manage pain understand this, that you have to get out of your head and just stay and rest in your heart. Because what's going on with you physically is not the final say. So I think that's really important. We've got a couple minutes, so Magdalena wants to share.
Well, let's see. I don't know. We want to, you know, share about just that, we talked about Jesus's demeanor when he spoke, and you had touched on it, that he had a little bit of a sarcastic way of explaining things, and he was really clever, you know, he was bright that way, so, you know, in order, you know, he told the stories in parables, so he was, you know, he was thought-provoking that way. He really made you analyze things, and in the way he explained things, he was very clever in getting his message across because he had to make it relatable and to which everybody can understand. And that's how, you know, when we speak of heavenly things, a lot of people don't understand it until you take it into layman's terms. And this is what Jesus did in explaining little stories that people can already relate to, like, you know, the parable of the 10 talents or whatever, you know, any parable that he spoke about, he made it into a story so that we could understand. And so in that regard, he was clever. He was very creative. You know, he really, really just tried to make it as human as possible for people to understand.
You know, I think that's going to bring us into next week's show as we take this to a part two, I do believe, because there's so many different stories in the Bible that I want to talk about, Dean, and I think we talked about one that I want to talk about in next week's show, and that's the conversation that he had with the woman, the Samaritan woman, and that human side of how Jesus spoke. And so next week, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to take this to the humanity of the Christ, part two, and really break down his teaching and put it into how a man would do it today. So, Dean, I want to thank you for being on the show, and Magdalena, I want you to end us in prayer. Dean, would you like to say anything before we leave?
Yeah, we'll bumper into next week's show. And you know, the clever, as Magdalena was saying, the cleverness of Christ, he was a humorist. He would throw zingers, in the way, you know, Don Rickles style almost, to the Pharisees and to the people that he really, really thought that knew it all. He would really come down in a very curt type of humor. His approach was quite human.
And so I'm really excited to really bring the audience into this human side because, again, what would you do if he showed up today? What is he going to look like? Nobody really knows. And the stories that we've seen and growing up Catholic, you know, I assumed growing up he was this man that glowed as he walked by. I mean, that's who he was to me. So I'm excited that we're going to move forward with this and have a part two. And Dean, again, thank you so much for being on the show. And can we expect you on the show next week?
I'll try my best. Thank you for having me. having me.
Good. Magdalena, why don't you close us out in prayer? And again, thank you so much, audience, and thank you for your support. And our sponsors, Rebecca and Robert from B&B, you know you are one of our angels, and we know that God has sent you here just to make sure that we're taken care of. So thank you so much. So Magdalena, why don't you go ahead and end us in prayer? And we will have the last song, and I want you just to sit back and listen to the song after Magdalena prays, and know that he knew that he loved you before he met you. So Magdalena, why don't you go ahead and close us out in prayer?
Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for sending your son Jesus to earth so that we can understand him on a human side, that he came and walked among us and lived and shared everything about your kingdom, Father. And it was his will to teach us, and he has given us the authority, Father, to go and make disciples. And Father God, I pray that as the listeners listen, that their ears and their hearts may be open and to really get to know who Jesus was as he came to us in human form, Father, so that he can relate to us, to give us his love, his gentle spirit, his compassion, God. Everything he did for us, he suffered for us, God, that we may be moved for what he did for us, God, and that we may come to you on our knees and that he may guide us in the right direction and that we just may surrender our lives to you, God. Thank you so, so much for your love. Thank you so much for your grace, for your true compassion, for your forgiveness, and for showing us the light, the word that feeds us. And that is, his hunger was fed by the word. And thank you so much for the healing that it brings upon us, God. And we pray for all of those who, Father, as we said, who may be physically suffering on earth right now, Father, they may come to you and rest upon you, God. And we pray for our enemies, God. We pray that you bless them because that is what you call us to do. And we pray for those who are afar, who may be asleep right now in sound slumber, God, that they know that your angels are surrounding them as you surround us right now. And thank you for all the blessings, all our sponsors, all that believe in what we are doing, Father. And thank you for giving us a platform on Soul Sister Radio with Soul Sister Sunday. And thank you so much, Dean, for your knowledge and for everything that you have shared and bringing insight upon us, God. And we love you so much, Father, that we may have a blessed day or night wherever you may be in this world, Father, that your angels are surrounding us. We love you so much. We thank you. We praise you. We glorify you, Father. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.